Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
This is WBUR's All Things Considered. I'm Lisa Mullins. For 30 years, Robert Siegel has been the signature voice of this program in Washington. He's earned every bit of his reputation as one of the most respected voices in journalism, and he's witnessed momentous events in history, from the collapse of communism in Europe to the problem of mentally ill and homeless people in New York. Robert Siegel's last day on the job is Friday. He's retiring. But he made time this week to speak with us about his craft, including the things that didn't come as easily to him, for instance, how to describe a visual in a story for radio, as they did for one of his longtime colleagues.
I marveled at Susan Stamberg's ability to draw a word picture and to describe something and ask someone about it. And I just can't do it. I mean, it's just not a gift that I have.
Even now?
I don't think so, no. So that was always tough. To me, it's always easier interviewing somebody when the person I'm interviewing is at a remote location.
I know Terry Gross says the same thing.
Absolutely. And when I came to know Ted Koppel pretty well, he does the same thing.
And why is it easier?
Well, it's easier because I'm not distracted by eye contact and by the relationship, the personal reaction of the interviewee. I'm hearing the interview the way the audience will, disembodied. So to me, it's my home ground. I'm more in charge of things for a variety of ways. And I find the live conversation with somebody face-to-face to be much more difficult.
When you have to enter into a difficult conversation with a guest, say a U.S. congressman or woman in hot water, or a big player in Middle Eastern politics, which can be so volatile and the conversations can be so volatile, you always seem to keep your cool. And I wonder what your mindset is going into those conversations and then executing them.
Well, I go in with some idea of what I think the person is going to say and therefore try to prepare myself with some questions that would follow on those anticipated answers. I'm not interested in having an argument with somebody on the air. I don't think that contributes much. I try to keep in mind somebody who may not be quite so interested in this subject as I am, especially the newsmaker interview, to try to make that accessible to somebody who has no idea who this, as you say, this Middle Eastern prime minister is, or whoever it might be, or the subcommittee chair from the Congress. That can be tough.
And how do you manage when, and I've heard this happen, when you say you don't want to pick a fight with somebody necessarily, but oftentimes people will make their responses to you personal. I shouldn't say oftentimes, but it happens. Yeah. And they might want to pick a fight with you.
Yeah, I had it with the White House advisor on trade, and just wouldn't let me get through a question. He seemed to think he knew what I was asking him about, and that was not necessarily the case. And it turned out to be a very hostile conversation.
Was this the current advisor?
Say, yeah, yeah. You know, he said, at some point, I know what you're going to ask. You don't know because you won't even let me speak to you. I mean, I think I said something to that effect.
But you're not looking for fireworks.
Not really, no. I don't. I don't know how helpful that is.
What kind of reporting or interview makes you feel like you can say, at least silently to yourself at the end of the day, good job, Robert?
Well, I think if I have managed to take something a bit mystifying and demystify it and debunk some take on that subject along the way, then I feel like I've done something good that day.
There are a lot of young people in the business right now who are looking to you for guidance, I would think, about interviewing and reporting. And if they're not asking you directly, they're listening. And I wonder what you would like them to know.
Well, one thing I would say is it's not about you. It's about the guest. It's about the person that you're interviewing.
You know that's not kind of the lesson these young people are getting in many places.
No, they may get the lesson that you should make a star out of yourself and be a presence and sound outrageous, look great, sound out, whatever it might be. Years and years ago, when I was doing books, compilations of the best interviews, transcribed interviews on NPR, I realized how seldom the memorable lines of our programs were lines uttered by an NPR staffer, and how often, if not nearly always, they were the lines uttered by the people we were talking to. That's what sticks with people. I've heard many, many lovely, flattering remarks about my voice over the past couple of weeks, but people don't necessarily remember something that I actually said. But they'll remember things that were said by the people we interviewed. And that's my advice to young people. It's about what the other guy says.
Can you think of one thing that the other guy has said that sticks with you? Maybe one particular interview that meant a lot to you? I'm not saying your favorite interview, but
no.
Look,
I'll never forget President Clinton saying, "Mr. Siegel, whatever it was, you know just as much about this as I do," which certainly was not the case. I certainly remember Mel Brooks telling me, "Siegel, stop talking and just play the music," because, as he said, when they hear my music from the producers, the Tony jurors should have just awakened from their cosmopolitan stupor the night before, and they'll vote for me, and I'll have a Tony. A zillion other people who've said stunning or entertaining things to me.
Because you probably helped guide them there and were a willing listener.
Brooks, I didn't help guide at all. He was unguidable. But nor probably Clinton, for that matter.
So final question. 30 years hosting the program. There are, I know, countless listeners who consider you the voice of NPR and will feel the void when you're gone. And I wonder for you what you hope that you have left with them. What kind of legacy?
Well, first let me say that while it's very nice, I'm not the voice of NPR. There are lots of great voices on NPR. And broadcast journalism is a team sport. I hope that what all of us leave here to people is a journalism, a broadcasting that's based on interesting, rational discourse, that's not just about insult and vituperation, but that addresses the real curiosities of Americans who deserve to get a straight take on what's happening in their country and around the world. That's a pretty ambitious legacy, but I think NPR has done pretty well over the past few decades.
Robert Siegel, we'll miss you, and we wish you the best of luck.
Lisa, thanks a lot. And this, WBUR is a very special station for me. So thank you. And thanks to all the people who support WBUR. By doing so, they're also supporting us. So take care.